This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Jennifer Coffendaffer is with us, Hidden Killers daily contributor and retired FBI special agent. We're continuing our conversation about expert witnesses in the trial of Brian Koberger. Got to be confusing for a jury because you're going to have prosecution coming in with their own experts and such and their own observations on the case and the testimonies from SLED and everyone else who's involved in this. And you're going to have one set of experts saying this, and then you'll have another set that may say something different. We don't know. You're talking about credibility here. If we're talking about a science or something of that nature, you're thinking the results should end up basically the same either way. Should they not?
They should. They really should. And I think that's the interesting part of this. A true expert, and I've seen it many times, they don't differ that much, because if it's a scientific situation, the science speaks for itself. So in the case of DNA, that's what we're looking at. It's sort of different when you have these opinions on interpretation sometimes of cell phone records, pings, and things like that. You know, people can try to muddy the waters in terms of even the databases they use to extract that digital forensics. But to me, what separates the good expert that is believed by the jury and the one that isn't is the years of experience. For instance, in this case with the Koberger case, you're going to have likely the FBI special agent. He's actually a supervisory and special agent that testified at the Murdoch trial. I would expect to see him in this trial. He's kind of the godfather. This is what he has chosen to spend his life and work in the FBI doing. So it's not like an agent that has worked a lot of different cases on several squads. This is their expertise, and it's really unmatched in the field. So while other experts, you know, might carry 5, 6, 7 cases a year, this guy's expertise just is overwhelming compared to the others.
Interesting. What was your take? I haven't had a chance to talk to you since the official alibi came out. It really wasn't that much difference in what it was alluded to in the initial filing. But then the official alibi is out as he likes to drive at night. What was your reaction to that when you heard it? And do you think this is Koberger calling the shots, thinking this is a damn good alibi and Ann Taylor's almost kind of hostage, having to go along with what he wants to do? Or is there something deeper going here? Is this part of the strategy that Ann has something more up her sleeve than just what we're seeing on the surface thus far?
Well, certainly I respect Ann Taylor and the work she's done defensively from what I've read and from her actions in this case. So you would think she has something up her sleeve, but I really truly believe there's just nothing to have up one's sleeve at this point. Yeah. I think the evidence is so damning that he left in that car. He went to that house. He was driving around that night, and they just can't refute it. So they've joined it.
Yeah.
Because they know they can't refute it. And then they're going to rely on the fact that the phone was off for 2 hours to explain, you know, whatever they end up saying. Oh, he was in a dead spot. Oh, he, no pun intended, sorry.
Yeah.
He was in, you know, decided to turn his phone off and take a nap, whatever they decide to go with. But because the evidence is so strong, that's what they had to go with. I still think, as they say in that Pretty Woman scene that I love, big mistake. I think it's big mistake to concede and to put that in writing.
Yeah, I don't know where else they would possibly go with it other than there's one of two things going on here, maybe a little bit of both, of try and get death off the table. And just because, you know, maybe you can sow some seed of doubt somewhere that possibly, maybe this wasn't him. Maybe enough to get him convicted and go to jail for the rest of his life. But just in case, maybe we won't execute him. The other thing would be sow those seeds of doubt. And I was talking with Robin Drake about this yesterday. Are they going down the path of to the jurors saying, you guys are smart. You know, we got these experts here. They say this, but you can use your own judgment. Use your judgment, not necessarily that of others, and really kind of enable play to the jury and make them think they're smarter than they actually are and go down that route of reasonable doubt, by basically muddying the waters?
Well, they're muddying the waters, in my opinion, to just see if they can find one juror who is sympathetic, you know, one juror that wants to think outside of the box and fashions themselves as, you know, some sort of Nancy Drew or Peter Falk in some way, that they're seeing something that the others aren't. You know, that can happen. You can get a lone wolf on the jury that no matter what the evidence is, they are not going to vote for a conviction. So that's what they're looking for. They're looking for that one juror that they can convince, I think. But I, you know, DNA on that sheath at the end of the day should solve the riddle for all the jurors.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.